It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, episode 195, Pit Stop. I serve as your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Purple Pants Podcast. And this is a special edition of the podcast. Listen, your baby boy got so much going on, okay? We had to do a special episode for Amazing Race, season 34, episode 1. And you know I'm joined by my boo-boo, Brookie Cam High, the winner of Amazing Race season 29. And we are breaking down the first episode of season 34. And you can follow along to this audio podcast with video on YouTube, so you can head over to Bryce Isaiah on YouTube. Okay, you can subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and let us know in the comments what you think about the first episode. As always, you can subscribe to the Purple Pants Podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever it is that you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to hit subscribe, write a review, and give your baby boy some 5 stars. I'm excited to be covering Amazing Race with my good friend Brooke. We talk about the new teams. We talk about this whole challenge about splitting apart, not going in the necessary order how it normally goes. And every elimination is, or every leg is an elimination leg. So listen, this is a great episode. And you know, I'm out here working hard for the posse. So I hope you enjoy this bonus episode of Brooke and I covering episode 1 of season 34. So listen, let's get into this pit stop.
It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
And it is that time of the year. Amazing Race is back. And if Amazing Race is back, then that means, you know, the Purple Pants Podcast has to cover it. And not only do we have to cover it, we have to bring on the amazing, the talented, the loyal, my friend, Miss Brooke Cam High, the winner of Amazing Race. Now, let's see if I get it right, because it's been a while. I want to say 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, yes. 29. Okay. Brooke is holding up her. Well, first of all,
you can welcome, see me, all right?
Welcome back to the podcast, Brooke.
Yay. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes.
This is like, I could not be happier to be here. Like, I've seen your gorgeous face twice in 1 week. I'm thrilled about this. Between the Survivor premiere party and getting to do this on video, I feel like we have stepped up.
Yes, we stepped up. Brooke had been texting me for the last 9 months, 3 weeks, and 7 days. Like, are we still doing Amazing Race? I said, Brooke, yes. Okay, 7 months, we still doing it? Yes. 3 months, I said, of course, yes. I said, well, listen, well, let's do the premiere episode on video. So if you are listening on the Purple Pants Podcast, you can also head over to YouTube and subscribe to the Bryce Isaiah YouTube channel. Hit subscribe, give the video a thumbs up. And as always, you can subscribe to the Purple Pants Podcast, because we out here. But yes, Brooke, we had such a great time at the Bryson Wynn Present, the season 43. Yes, we hear bacon in the background, so you know it means Amazing Race with Brooke and Bryce is back. Okay. And yeah, so I just saw Brooke literally like 2 days ago. And okay, not Brooke throwing 1,000 treats on the ground. Like,
we heard them all. I've opened a bag, and he's just gonna. He's by the end. I'm gonna show you the pile. He's gonna take like a bite of one and be like, "Ooh, another one." He's good at having like the knowledge of when I'm on something and doing something, and he exploits the hell out of that. So he'll get a lot of treats from this. So Bacon says hi.
Hello, Bacon.
To the posse.
Are excited to have Bacon back. But yeah, we just saw each other a couple of days ago at the Bryson Wynn Present premiere. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And now awesome. We get to talk Amazing Race. Now, Amazing Race and Survivor are on at the same time. So it was a lot
I had to go home the next day and not only find the time, but find the energy, because I really do. And again, this is our third season of covering Amazing Race, Brooke and I. And I hadn't necessarily been a huge Amazing Race fan. Like, I've seen a couple of episodes, you know, but then when we were covering it, I had to watch it. And I really feel like last season, I was looking forward to Amazing Race.
You got into it. You were texting me. What do you think of this? I can't believe that happened. Are you finished the episode yet? So on and so forth. I know you're saying that I texted you 50,000 times in the past 9 months, which is, no, it's accurate. It's fully accurate. But I think you're a fan now. I think you're into it.
No,
and
for sure.
I've been told as long as this show is on, we're doing this together. And I'm psyched about that.
And I was telling you the other day, my one friend, Sarah, who is a loyal member of the posse, she was like, I'm excited for Amazing Race. I can't wait to hear Brooke's take. So I was like, yes, we're coming back. I am even more excited because I feel like outside of you, I didn't really know that many people from Amazing Race. And because of like you, you know, I've become really good friends with Lulu and Lala.
I bring them in. Yes. I bring people into the fold.
Will and James. So I'm excited to see the, Ryan. Ryan is on the Zaddy calendar. So I'm excited to meet this new cast and to see where we are going to lie with it. So just off the top, like, what was your thoughts on the race as a whole? The first episode.
Okay, so I'm going to start by saying I am going to be positive.
Okay.
It's going to last like a couple minutes probably. So the thing that was cool, they did a whole bunch of firsts this time around. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, the Amazing Race has always started in the United States. And one of my favorite things about the race is that scramble to get on the first flight where, you know, if you make the first flight, that sort of puts you at an advantage, at least for the first leg. And most times, not all, if you get on that first flight, you make it closer to the end. That being said, this is the first time the race started outside the United States. Now, I'm sure it's because they're trying to not have taxis. I'm sure it's because they're not flying commercial and they only have one charter. I mean, get two charters, Amazing Race, but that's fine. They only have one, so everyone has to fly together. And so they started the race in Germany, which is cool. I'm excited. Maybe there's a language barrier. Maybe people don't speak German. There's not. Everyone spoke English. Everyone was a tourist. It's fine. It's good. It's good. But I think that of all the ways they could have handled it, I liked how they did it. They started showing us Germany. They didn't show everyone get to the airport and meet each other beforehand on the flight to Germany. I'm happy with how it went. They're also, this is the first time that they're having no non-elimination legs.
Now that gave me a big reaction. Now, mm-hmm. I immediately thought, I was like, oh, Brooke is probably going to like this.
No, I mean, yes, I like it because I sometimes feel that elimination legs save teams that maybe shouldn't have been saved. So there are 12 teams now. Usually there's 11. There's been a time or two in the past where they've had 12. So there are 12 now. So if I'm doing the math and it's the same as a regular season, that means we're going to have two legs that are either keep on racing legs, which are sort of non-elimination legs, or this mega leg, which is really a keep on racing leg. So that's your way of getting around the non-eliminations. The cast had a huge reaction to it. And if I were on the cast, I think I wouldn't love it because, you know, if you have to make a ladle, you might be last. And if we were second to last, but you might be last. And you don't want one thing that is just sort of just the one thing that you can't do be the thing that sends you home. So I think it'll be interesting to see how the no non-eliminations go.
Right. Before I give my thoughts on it, do you think Arun and Natalia ruined it? And there was like, you know what? Every leg is going to be elimination leg now. Because child, Arun and Natalia, in their past life, mm-hmm. they had to be a cat because they had 9 lives on the last episode or the last season of Amazing Race. I would say, though, I don't like it only in the essence that I want to get my hopes up where I want to like root for a team. I'm like, oh no, they got to the end. And then they think that they're gone. And then, you know, Phil is like, well, this is not an elimination. So I kind of almost want that safety net for teams. But also I feel like it will be a lot straightforwarder.
Right. Yeah. As a viewer, there is something to be said for, ooh, they haven't had a non-elimination leg yet. This is the time. Your favorite team's in the back. Maybe they'll be safe. It's a little more tension for the viewer. But I think we'll get that from Keep on Racing legs, because you're not necessarily going to know when that happens. And that's sort of a non-elimination.
Now, a Keep on Racing leg, I would think, though, goes is more towards the end. Like, they're not going to have a Keep on Racing leg next week.
I mean, our fifth leg was a Keep on Racing leg.
Okay. So middle season and end. Now, my next question for you is, as a former racer and as a winner, do you feel like having no non-eliminations, are they leveling up? Like, for Survivor with the 26 days, there's not a question that's harder. Depends on how you look at it. Some people think that 26 days is easier in the sense of surviving.
Right.
You know, the 39 days, that those extra couple of them extra 10, 11, 12 days really can weigh on your mental. But then on the opposite hand of it, it's that 26 days, there is no time to lay around, hang out, like the game starts.
Right. I think it's a little bit different than Survivor, because there, with The Amazing Race, other than pit stops, which you have to do for just logistical reasons, there was never that downtime where you just have like a day off and you're just laying around. And when you are having your day off, you're all sequestered away from the other teams. Like, everyone's in their own room and you're not supposed to be having any conversations. So The Amazing Race is very clear that they want to put everything on film. So it's a little different where with Survivor, and again, I've not survived. I wouldn't survive. But with that, I've heard there's a lot of downtime, especially with a 39-day season where there's a day here, there's a day there where you're just at camp. But during that time, you're forming relationships and you're making alliances. The race is a little different. It sort of goes from the start. So I do think I'm interested to see how it will work with no non-eliminations. And I think it'll be cool, because I think it'll force people to try as hard as possible every time. I do know there were some people on my season where they were like, well, this one's bound to be a non-elimination. Well, let's like save our energy a little bit. There's no saving your energy this time.
And do you feel like with this, now what is not a roadblock? A roadblock is when a team can give, okay, now roadblocks will be 1,000% more crucial, because I felt like on the last season, they weren't really like one. We barely had any. And the one that we did have, I feel like, what was the team? Who did they give them to? Did they give it to Dusty Orion? I forget. But like, they weren't. Do you feel like we'll see more roadblocks in the sense of a team? Or no, am I getting it wrong?
U-turns? Because roadblock, there was a roadblock this time. The ice challenge was technically a roadblock because only one team member could do it. So yeah, but I don't think they're going to have. They may have U-turns. I don't think they're going to have U-turns, though. And that's the one that sort of gets to me. I think that's a great component of the game. And if they don't have them, I feel like that's a little bit of a letdown. I hope they do. I think that's where the strategy really comes in. And some people don't like that. They like Survivor for strategy and Amazing Race for travel. Well, but and I like it for both.
And that's why huge shout out to Will and James, because when they played, they definitely brought the Survivor strategy in and like, teaming up in alliances. But so I'm clear, a U-turn is, say you and I are a team, we get somewhere and we have the opportunity to like put a team in last place or send them
make a team do both halves of a detour, which is those two challenges where one or the other, your U-turn will make that team have to do not only one but both before continuing.
Right. I hope we get to see more U-turns, because
yes, I
feel like that's almost like the hourglass in Survivor, because it's like a team could really be ahead and then this U-turn and it like messes around. But so we got the logistics out. Let's meet the cast.
One other thing that they did. Sorry, I don't want the third thing that they did new is they did this thing called the Scramble. So this episode, and we'll talk about it after we meet the teams, is sort of like our finale in Chicago, where we were told three riddles and we had to run around Chicago and find these three clues in any order that we wanted. And then it would send us to the next place. So that's what this episode was all about. A lot of different things going on in different places. It was a little hard to follow. I hope they do it again closer to the end when there's less teams, because I found it a little bit difficult, other than the little box that they had at the bottom of the screen where it was like, check, I did this, check, I did that. It was hectic. I think it would be very hard as a team to do that on leg one. I would be consistently worried we were in last.
And that's what a lot of the teams felt like. However, as a viewer, mm-hmm. I thought it might have, dare I say, now mind you, this is what, their 34th season, and this is my third season watching. Dare I say, as Amazing Race watcher of three seasons.
Super fan.
You know, I thought this was more enjoyable to watch. It was like, I don't know, it just, it gave a little excitement for them to pick the different teams and to see different people's strategy. Was kicking me out.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
I want to talk about the strategy. So let's, you want to meet the teams? Let's do it.
Yes, let's meet the teams. And so we have some photos that we picked up. So, you know, if you listen along, you know, Brooke will do a great job of describing them, but you can also head over to YouTube and watch us talk about some of the teams. Now let's meet the first two teams.
Oh man. Okay. you want to go, I wanted to talk about teams that I was like really gung-ho for. And you put up two teams that like, not so much. So, okay. So the first team that you have here, is it Rich and Dom? That's correct? They are, he's a life coach. They're motivational speakers. Yes. She has the world's most gorgeous hair and fantastic muscles and is a gym owner and is just the most positive person I've ever seen, which is cool. I wish I could be more like that. I think I'm going to have a little bit of trouble really rooting for them. I want to, and maybe my opinion will change. Why don't you go?
I liked them. I thought that they were like great motivational speakers. She's got like the faux locks in that are multicolored. Curious to see how I'm going to feel about them because I feel like they are motivational speakers and she is super positive, but almost like too positive, that's like a little too hyper, a little less action. They will be sure that I will have a lot of takes on them. Now, I don't know them personally, just my own, my personal opinion of seeing the episode, but I'm sure they're great people. But yeah, she, Dom was a lot, but she had extremely high energy. We will have to see.
I mean, the fact that she was driving the cart, they keep saying something when they rip open the envelope, like some positive mantra, which is great. Do it. I don't know what it is. But as she's driving the car, she's talking about how she's centering herself and how she's just reminding herself about how positive and so on and so forth. Meanwhile, she's getting honked like crazy because she's driving so slowly.
I know.
And so I'm just like, girl, don't multitask. Like, say it in your head. But this is the team that I want to root for, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And hopefully there will come a time where I really, really do.
We gonna see.
We'll see. And then next to them, you have Tim and Rex Ryan.
Yes.
For anyone who doesn't know who he is, he's Rex Ryan. That's the first thing he says to everybody on the start line. And I'm like, okay, somebody loves himself. It's fine. It's cool. He's famous. He's legitimately outside of The Amazing Race, super famous. My family is Jets fans. He's famous.
And so he was the head coach?
Yes.
Okay.
Of the Bills and the Jets, mostly the Jets. They're not a good football team, but that is what it is. And I don't know how much of it is you know, his fault. He lost 50 pounds to run the race. Tim is a, I want to say, probation officer, which is a really, like, honorable job. They, we'll get to how they do. I don't know that I foresee them sticking around for too long.
We will have to see. I first of all, I you know, I didn't know who Rex was. And just off of, like, my first interactions, I was like, oh, no, I don't know if I'm going to like Rex. However, I feel like as the episode progressed, I felt myself kind of sort of wanting to root for him.
Okay.
So I will, I'll have to hold my opinion on them. But, you know, they not my favorite team. Okay. But, you know, they can grow on you. So, you know, let's get our next like pair. A
okay, now we're talking. So the next pair that you have here is Quentin and Maddie. Yes. They are choreographer and dance coach, former LA Rams cheerleaders. I'm a fan. They're both from California. They're best friends. I love his energy.
Yes.
I will talk about how they did, but just from the start line, they seem positive, but they don't seem like overly fake positive. I feel like they will go very far.
Yeah, they, now I don't necessarily have a winner pick. I like to pick my winner pick episode 2, but they are definitely
episode 12. In, that's fine.
They are definitely in my rating and radar. I love his energy, love his mm-hmm. body. I love his, like, competitiveness. And yeah, I think that they have a great dynamic between them. Like, they're really good friends. I could definitely tell if they fight with each other, they'll be able to get over it very quickly. So I like them a lot.
And I think it might be fun to watch them fight with each other.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be nasty. I think it'll just sort of be witty and a little bit obnoxious, and then they'll move on. And I think that's kind of fun to watch. So I'm hoping they last a very long time. So yes, that'll be good. And then next to them, you have Marcus and Michael. Ooh,
first of all, I was getting flashbacks of Mo and, oh my God, I was getting flashbacks.
Except they're still here on episode 2. So that's good. They are an Army tank commander and an Air Force fighter pilot, military brothers. They've been stationed in Germany. They started the leg doing really, really well, and we'll talk about their performance. But something about them, just in, like, their introduction and just doing a little bit of reading, I really am rooting for them. They haven't gotten to spend a lot of time together. They've been stationed separately. And I like these two a lot.
I think that they are funny. I don't foresee them winning, but I want to watch, and I definitely want to continue to see their dynamic. They bring the energy, and yeah, their style of, I can just tell their style of how they are going to execute things, or how they execute things, is different. And I just foresee them bumping heads a lot. But I do think they could be the new Ryan and Dusty.
Ooh, that's like a big statement.
I mean, they could be. They honestly could be. They're little, you know, rusty at first, no pun intended, but they might get they mojo, and they might get their groove going. So I definitely like them. I don't necessarily foresee them winning, but I do like them.
Okay. Right,
let's go to who we got next. Okay.
So on the next slide, if you're not watching, you have maybe my favorite team, and then like my not so favorite team. So we have Linton and I think it's Sharik. Father daughter, you know, I love a father daughter team. Like, I am rooting for the father daughter team. They're from Brooklyn. I'm a New Yorker father daughter team. I love these two. I think that he's like an assistant principal. She's getting her master's. They're just so cute. They're from Jamaica. I like their dynamic. At one point, she goes, they're at the roadblock and she hesitates a little. He goes, you're hesitating. I just like the two of them. I want them to go to the end because I just have a soft spot in my heart for the daddy daughter Amazing Race team.
I think it rubs off on me, and I was excited to see. I was like, "Ooh, this is the father daughter duo. I want to see it." And when again, he was driving most of the leg, and, you know, I wasn't getting no Arun flashbacks. He wasn't, like, you know, too dependent on her navigating, and he was able to do what he had to do. So I like them. I like Mr. Linton and Sharik. We'll get a better pronunciation as the season goes. But yeah, I definitely like them a lot.
Do you want to go first?
Is this Lewis?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I got it right. So and this Michelle. Is Lewis and Michelle, and they are they, was she a dancer?
Yeah, she dances for Pitbull. There's a lot of dancers. She dances for Pitbull. He's a firefighter.
Mind you, I mean, I kind of liked, I liked Lewis. Lewis was a little easy on the eyes. Now, I'll be honest, I liked them per se, but I didn't really take enough from, there were some people that like stood out for me in this episode, and they didn't necessarily stand out enough for me, but I mean, I'm Team Lewis already, so I want to root for them.
That's fair. I just think there's a lot of dancers, and of the dancers, like the dancer teams, I don't think they made as much of an impression on me. That being said, put him in front of a block of ice and he would be a good actor.
Oh my, okay.
We'll get there. Sorry. Yeah, he's the one who would have murdered the person in front of him. He lasted through that ice challenge. Now, I know for a fact that originally that challenge, they had like a much bigger mallet. And when they do the testing of the challenges, they got rid of the mallet because it was too easy. He made it look like it was so easy with his tiny little ice pick. He went like psycho style on
it. He went crazy. Mm-hmm.
So a fan of his enthusiasm. And I think that they're going to grow on me too. I just think that they were, I don't know, maybe a little hammy for the camera my liking in episode one. But you know, who am I? My opinions don't matter. So, and maybe they won and they'll laugh at me in 3 months. Okay. Who else do we have?
Who we have next?
Bryce, this is my favorite team. You just pulled up my favorite team. So we have Glenda. And I think it's Lumumba. I might be mispronouncing it. If I am, I will get a better pronunciation. They are 40-something-year-old newlyweds. Sorry, go ahead. You can go.
No. First of all, that give me hope. Okay, I can still find my love and get married. Yes, I like them as well. Now, Glenda is like 6'4", and Lumumba
is actually 6'2". Yeah, she's very tall. He's 5'7".
And he's 5'7".
Right.
And I was cracking up because he was like, you know, Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high. He was like, well, guess what? We could go low and high. I love his energy. I think I like him a little bit more than I like Glenda, only because I just love his energy. He's like always talking positively to his wife. They're definitely a team, you know. Shout out to my girl, Sherry, from last season.
I was going to say, you're not getting Akbar and Sherry vibes here.
No. Not getting Akbar and Sherry vibes, but who knows? The Akbar could come on out. But I definitely liked him. And I thought he was like extremely handsome as well. I didn't really get into him at first. I was like, ooh, she's tall. But then when they were in the when they were driving, and mind you, she drove. That was another thing that I loved about them. I feel like, now I could just be making this up in my head, but in my head, I feel like they don't subscribe to the cisgender heterosexual normities of a relationship. I feel like they define their roles in the relationship how it suits them, meaning like, you know, she might be better at cutting grass, and just because he's a man, he's not, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like
she did the ice challenge.
Yeah.
She beat the hell out of that cube of ice. So I love them. I love that they met in church. He goes, I was looking at her and she was looking over my head. Like, I just, it's a little self-deprecating. It's really, really cute. They seem to really be in love. And so this is my team where I am just go to the end. Like, I have something about them just warmed my heart from the beginning, and I hope they make it all the way.
Yes. I mean, they could be a possibility for my winner team as well. How likable that I was every time that they were on the camera screen.
Yeah, that's fair. And then next to them, you have Emily and Molly.
Yes.
What is this story? Long lost twin sisters who are 36 years old, who only found out about each other. Sorry, that's
when bacon. It's okay. Come on,
having a good time down there.
Bacon must like
Emily and Molly.
Emily and Molly must be Bacon's winner pick.
They're his favorite. So only found out about each other when I think it was Emily's daughter took a DNA test. So like 23 and me bringing people together. That is right. Ridiculous. Both adopted by Jewish homes in different parts of the country and came back to do this race. I really enjoyed them. I hope they go far. I don't see them winning the whole thing. I'm getting like sixth place vibes from them.
Okay. I like them. I like their story. Me personally, I feel like the race is just good for their relationship. And that's why yes. I like them. I don't foresee them being a strong team either. And I don't know, like, I love to root for all women teams and especially my twin teams. But I just feel like they might not know each other. I don't know. It just seems.
In all fairness.
I mean, no,
people not knowing each other at all, meeting at the starting line and somebody had to win. So maybe their whole twin telepathy thing will start kicking
in. Maybe
soon enough.
We'll start it up.
Okay.
Got next.
Oh, Derek and Claire. Derek and Claire. They warm my heart. They're so cute. There's another thing about them where he has also like the self-deprecating humor where he's worried that he's the muscle of the team. And I think they're already known as Team Reality Romance. That's what their little Chiron says, which is just cheese ball and fantastic. I think that they are going to go very far. They haven't known each other that long, but they've already done a reality show together. They have a good back and forth. They have a good sense of humor. They're not taking it too seriously, but at the same time, they are taking it seriously enough. He's joking around a little at the ice challenge. And I just think between their good relationship and the fact that they know how a reality TV show sort of works, I think that they have a real chance of going very, very far.
Yes. Yeah. I am huge fans of Claire and Derek.
Yes.
I think that they'll be a force to be reckoned with. Now, the only reason I would put them as my winner pick, the only reason that I will say that I'm not going to put them as my winner pick, and I've said this all three seasons of Amazing Race that I watch, I always worry for the team that wins first.
Well, we'll see if there are any U-turns, because if not, nobody can stop them if they keep winning first, right? I mean, it's hard to slow somebody down.
I feel like the teams that always win first, like they'll be the one team to beat. But I feel like then something always happens that like turns them around. And especially if this is every leg is an elimination right. leg. I feel like they might get tripped up, but yeah. I almost didn't want them to win. So because like I didn't know what they were going to give on this show. And I was like shocked at, well, first of all, I mean, I love them already, but I was shocked at like how much I love them. I felt myself rooting for them. But then when they won, I was like, damn it. Now I can't give y'all my official winner pick because I feel like my method is that the first winner doesn't win. But prove me wrong, Derek and Claire, prove me wrong.
Under your logic, if we're going, I came in fourth on my first.
I know it's always those.
So
it's
like, fourth was Linton and Sharique. We'll put them in the end. I do see Derek and Claire. I don't know. I'm making a point to not know, but I do see them going.
I could see them
in
the final. I could definitely see them in the final for sure.
Yeah, I see that happening. And next to them, you have, is it Aubrey and David? They're very cute. She was a dance studio owner. He was her student. Like, that's very, very cute. They seem very, very in love. I don't think they're going to last very, very long. I want them to, but they don't, maybe they'll get it together. Look, first legs are difficult. You never know what's going to happen. People need to get into a groove. People need to see, you know, how it all works. They don't know. And so maybe they'll do well. I think they're going to be the least successful of the dance teams, personally.
I kind of sort of get that vibe. I like them. They're cute. You know who they reminded me of from last season? Aparna and...
Ishwar.
And yes, that's who they remind me of. And I feel like, I feel like they might be one of the straggler teams that that kind of is always in the back. But who knows? Prove me wrong. I've never done this race. I just like to watch. And then who we got?
Oh, okay. So we have Will and Abby. Will and Abby are 24 and 25. They've known each other for over 20 years. So just say your whole lives. They are adorable. She is so excited to be there. And she does not shut up. which, you know what, I'm cool with because I don't shut up. So that's cool. I feel like she's a little bit like me. She is super fan. She is super psyched. I thought they were going to do horribly. I thought she was just going to be like frazzled, but no, they didn't really place in the top. But at the end of this episode, a lot of teams came in right about the same time. So I can't really say, you know, eighth is not good because it was really like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 all happened right at the same time. I think they might actually do well. They're very young, so I don't know how much, you know, real world experience they have. I don't know how much they traveled outside of Alabama, so I don't know how well traveled they are. But she's a data scientist, he's an accountant, so they're brainy, and I'm rooting for them.
I put them in my winner pool as well, because I just like her energy. Mm-hmm. I thought they balanced each other. I feel like this is Kim and Penn 15 years ago when they first met. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this mm-hmm. is, and so I feel like they know each other well. I feel like they will struggle, but I feel like the other will pick the other one up. And so mm-hmm. I think that this is definitely a team to look out for.
Okay. And then this is last but not least. Because not because of any reason other than the fact that they're not there anymore. Least in placement, not in any other reason in life. We have Asta and Nina. They are adorable. They're an engaged couple from California. Asta meditates 2 hours a day. I think maybe it should be a little less because she was a little too calm during the episode. I don't think they're going to win. I mean, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say.
I liked them. I thought that they were great. They also were, when I choose my couples on I felt like they were great together. Mm-hmm. However, I felt like just a bit extreme in the sense of like what you were saying, but I really did like them and I was like rooting for them. So I was hoping that they would, you know, do well, but.
Yeah. You know. But thanks for playing. Uh-huh. So those are the teams. And then the episode is probably pretty easy to talk about sort of quickly because it jumps all over the place. So many, you know, different challenges at the same time. For anyone who didn't watch it, it was a very new first episode of The Amazing Race. It was called a scramble. Look at that picture. It's so cute. Everyone's on a log flume in Germany. They get in front of Phil. He tells them about all these new twists and turns for leg one. And then there he does his, you know, the world is waiting. You have it up. The world is waiting. Travel safe. Good luck and go. I get the chills because I'm always going to be a fan. And I start screaming. Everyone runs their backpacks and they get their clue that says, this is a scramble. You have 3 tasks to do today. Do them in any order that you want. And then meet me at the pit stop.
This is my right off the bat question. There were some teams that were like, you know, Phil likes to do the scenic route for this. Like, I'm like, I just felt like it's no way that you going to know where the hell this pit stop is. So pick one and go.
Like, I'm with you.
Okay. So
I will say I did like, I think it was Emily and Molly who were like, Phil's usually in a scenic location for his pit stop. So we're going to do the last one by the river. And you know, it's a great idea. And then I started thinking about my pit stops and I was like, were they all scenic? And some of them were, it was like the most beautiful place in that particular city. But some of them were like,
Dex Mick in the middle of the city.
Yeah. One at season 26's first pit stop was at a parking garage. Legit. I'm not kidding. That literally was where you had to find him. So it's not always somewhere scenic and beautiful. I like the way they thought about it. They were wrong, but I do like the way that they thought about their path.
Like, you know, they thought it out and it, listen, if you got a game plan, stick to it. Now, mm-hmm. here was another note that I had because, again, you know, if you listen and you want to be on Amazing Race, this is the podcast to listen to because mm-hmm. Brooke won season 28 and she stayed dropping knowledge.
29.
Sorry, I was on season 28. I did not win of Kagiyan, okay? But
you won the hearts.
I won the hearts, okay?
Of the people.
Brooke is stay dropping knowledge. And I remember last season you were saying that, like, you know, you see somebody that has a phone, they can use the phone to give you directions. Now, what was the, was it, I forget what couple it was that they were like, oh, we're going to get directions from here to there, to there, to there. They had this couple and mind you,
You don't really need to know who that couple was because that couple's not here.
Okay. and I, if, if foreshadowing was a word, while they're like, okay, listen, we're going to get to that, Derek and Claire walk drive by, and they're like, yay! Okay, Frank and Lou, I mean, Lewis and Michelle, yay!
Everyone was off. Everyone's passing even them. And at some point, just right, exactly.
I said, oh, no. But in that moment, she had that phone in her hand. I said, ooh, I thought Brooke said that they can't touch the phone. Can you elaborate?
You can touch the phone. We touched the phone. At the end of our season in 12 for our scramble, there was a very nice woman in Chicago on the train platform. And I was like, can I just have your phone? And she gave me her phone and I looked up what I needed to look up. So you can touch the phone. You can't bring a phone. And you can't have anybody lead you somewhere. So you can touch the phone and look up anything that you want, write anything down, but you can't obviously take it. And you can't have those people lead you where you want to go. You always have to be in front of whoever's giving you directions now, because in the olden days, teams would basically pay a taxi to lead them where they needed to go. Wow. And sort of self-drive legs were much easier with directions because you weren't really getting directions. You were just following a cab driver. Mm. So in the evolution of the show, the rules have changed to sort of fix teams, you know, gaming the game. So I like that they took the phone. I like that Asta and Nina were detailed in their directions, but at some point you're doing too much. Like, you let everybody else pass you.
Right.
Which is not a good
even,
sign.
Even damn T-Rex. Now that should have been your sign from God.
They're not that bad. They actually did pretty well.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
So one of the challenges was Oktoberfest. Now, mind you, I was a little disappointed because I was like, ooh, Oktoberfest, if I'm in it, oh, I could do it because I can drink. But it wasn't drinking. It was an obstacle course with a keg that you had to, like, run within a minute. Both sides that had hay, had a little thing. And that is the obstacle course that won T-Rex over for me. Because I was like, ooh, T-Rex is going to look a mess out here. And, you know, we got a little confessional and he was like, I lost 50 pounds. And mm-hmm. he was like, you know, I know I don't want to be dead weight to Tim. And he was like, so I'm going to give it my all. And I don't know, in that moment, I like just forgot that he was an NFL coach. Cause you know, normally I don't like to root for people that got money. I like to, you know, fair. I like it for to be regular people. But in that moment, I really feel like it humanized him for me. And I was like, let me find out. I'm about to be a damn T-Rex fan.
I agree with you. I'm with you. Tim is a marathon runner, apparently. And I like the fact that Rex was like, first of all, I don't know how far in advance of the show he knew it was coming, but to drop 50 pounds, what I can imagine was pretty quickly, is really amazing. And I like that he was also a little self-deprecating. He's like, I know I got more to go, but I didn't want to be dead weight to the team. So I did find that very endearing as well. Yeah.
Right. Now, do I think they're going to win?
No.
But
prove us wrong. I don't know. Maybe they will.
Prove us wrong. But so I thought the keg one was great. I thought it was really interesting to watch. And surprisingly, some of the dancer teams could not really get it together. Derek and Claire killed it. My Luma and
Lumumba. Glenda.
And what's Lumumba? His name? We won't call him Lou.
Today.
He killed it. And so there were just a very sparse difference. It's either you went there, you killed it the first time, or you were there for about 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was too easy because everyone was getting it in 1 or 2 times. And then you had a couple of teams. I think it was Asta and Nina took like 5 times. You had Aubrey and David who took like 4 times. So maybe it wasn't as easy. And what I noticed was Phil said in his voiceover that you had a minute to do it, and then you actually had 55 seconds to do it. So I wonder if they changed the challenge a little bit to make it a little harder because everyone was getting it so quickly in a minute. And 55 seconds was sort of the cutoff. Where,
the cutoff time. And then what was the name? The first people to do it, Marcus and Michael. Bay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think it was Michael that went first. And then child, Marcus was just on a roll. Okay, he just rolled over the
head. Right over. Obstacle courses are not for him. He's just going to steamroll it right over the thing. But they had a good sense of humor about it. They got it on their second try. They actually were so far ahead. They had done two things while everyone else was really on the first. And it wasn't until the third leg of this scramble that they got lost.
That they got lost. And I also feel like when they did the third challenge, which was the log chopping, they kind of got it together, but they didn't really like, there were some couples, i.e. the dancers, that felt like you had to go
That's what I think bugged me about. Right.
And I was just like, y'all do realize that the only amount that y'all, now mind you, like first of all, shout out to Wendell and his company, Beaver Limited. You know, I do a little woodwork here or there. I could sand off something. Sometimes, you know, Wendell allows me to have the saw with, you know, supervision. But I knew instantly that, like, one, you're concerting energy. And I think that this is when the downfall for Rich and Dom for me came.
Yes.
Was that they were like so positive, like, let's go, baby. I love a good workout. I'm here. Okay. So she was hyping me up. And then, baby, they was doing the I'm like, no, you only really need to go 2 inches left, 2 inches right. And I also felt like what some of the teams were not understanding, and listen, at least Rex and Tim got this, was that they said that you had to do it to the music. And so at first I thought, like, is this going to be a distraction? But I thought it was like to help them, because it's like, if you got the rhythm of the music, you could go really, really fast. And I thought that it would be very clear that, like, if you go all the way to the left, all the way to the right, you're not on the rhythm of the music.
Right. That's true. You're not on the rhythm of the music. And the log is this wide. You don't need, like, once you're past the length of the log, just
right,
back, like, you're just wasting energy. I think for me, this is the moment where Abby and Will really, really came to the forefront for me, because to watch them do it, another team was like, it's like a hot knife through butter. Like, they were just so just patient about it and calm about it and just with in sync with the music. And they did such a great job. And they're not the biggest team. I think what's interesting is the bigger teams were trying to muscle through it.
Muscle through it.
And that's not something you could really muscle through. You're just going to waste your energy.
First of all, I thought Marcus or Michael was going to lose a damn limb the way you got to pull when I'm pushing. I'm like, I don't know if like pull like the
I still really like them. I still like them.
I love them. I'm just glad. I was just like, oh, my God, is somebody going to lose a limb? And then like the blade was like blended, like bending. And then I think it might have been, I think this is probably where your disdain for Lewis and Michelle came from, because they couldn't get it together. And then Lewis was like, do you want to switch sides? Lewis, it don't matter. Well, I guess depending on how the groove went, but some people were strug. Okay. Not even Lynn strug. Okay. Yeah. They just weren't even, because the struggling, you would have to go left to right. They was just right. Strug.
Just one way, right?
Just strug, okay?
I think they're going to argue a lot. I think they're going to be the team that butts heads.
That's the team I want to see. That's the team I want to see.
And I think they're going to grow on me. But in leg one, I think there were just people who grew on me more faster.
No, so for sure.
Let's give them some time. And to see Lewis do the ice challenge, whatever you call it, the smash.
Yes.
And nailed it. So I think I am going to like them. I think it was just, there were other teams.
So yes. And so it was the saw and then the ice challenge, which I thought was the most, the easiest one. I think the first people that got there were my girls, Emily and Molly.
Yes,
and,
they were.
You know, I'm like, well, I thought this was going to be a lot harder than what it really was. And at first I thought it was going to be a little difficult because Molly was there trying to, like, you know, she had the stake and the hammer. Boom, boom, boom. And then this is when I think that my love affair with Lewis started, because Lewis got there. Bae, whew, You know, on Survivor, at times, you know, I like to call myself the ladder, depending on who it is. Baby, call me the Ice Cube, because you was the break me. Like, he was like, bop, and that thing just split into three. I was like, oh my God.
He nailed it. I mean, I don't think anyone went faster. I don't think anyone went faster than him.
Yeah, no. I think Derek did really well with the ice as well, but it just, Lewis set the temperature. And if I'm the Ice Cube, I'm melting all over the flow. Okay.
Derek and Claire did really great with everything. They got the roll on the first try with the keg and the hay bales. They did the saw pretty easily. And the roadblock, the ice challenge, Derek did it. He did take a minute to sort of ham it up and goof around. And Claire was like, hello, like we're on a clock right here. Right. But still didn't get mad. And I think they have a good relationship. So I'm excited and hope that they last a very long
time. The thing with Derek and Claire for me was that I think what made me like them even more was they always thought that they were in last place. They're like, there's no one here. Every time we get here, like, we're probably in last. And I like the fact that it didn't slow them down, though. Like, they still kept going.
Yes.
And then when they got their angel wings, because when you got all three pieces, boom, boom, and boom. And this is the only thing that I, like, didn't like necessarily about this episode was, one, I like it when you don't really know who's going to be in the end. But at the point that Claire and DX got hit their wings, then I think enough, but they got the wings and then they clearly had to figure out where it was. But it was just very evident that it was either going to be
Glenda and Lou.
I mean, yeah, Lewis and Michelle or what's their name? Is that name Glenda? No, it's Asta and Don.
You mean about being last?
Being last.
Oh, yes. So Asta and Nina or Aubrey and David. It's another dancer. It's dancers. Yes.
Oh,
so,
the dancers, right. Okay, you're right.
And I actually think the sweetest moment of the whole episode had to do with Aubrey and David, where they got there at the end and they were all, we're last, we know it, we tried. David's all, my girlfriend's amazing. And then you very rarely get to see this. You see it in her eyes where she goes, and she sees another team coming. And that was just a moment of, and Phil goes, what do you see? You see something? And they knew, and they had this pure joy.
I got a little emotional when they got there. This was, what was their name?
So Aubrey and David.
When they got there, I was a little emotional because they were like, we know. And I was just like, oh my God, why am I getting emotional for this? But like, and then when she saw, you know, there was like, I was like, oh, I love this. Also, same token, flashback to last season, the first people that got eliminated, Mo and you know the teams.
Mike.
Mo and Mike. They was pissed when they had such high energy. And then when they went home, they were pissed. I really respected.
Wait, when they went home the first time or when they went home first the second time?
No, when they went home the first time, they was pissed. When they went home first the second time, first of all, I was just so over them. They still were just like, they got their act together. Cause when they went home the first season, they were pissed. And also I don't know why it will forever live rent free in my head. That challenge where like, this is the Amazing Race. And they had to like kind of plaster the stuff on the wall. And those men were like, no, you just got to get it up faster. And at that point, I was only one Amazing Race in. And right. I knew that it would be more complicated than that. And they just put that shit
on. Just put it up. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to not know anything about it to think that there wasn't some sort of puzzle component to that challenge. And I will say, I don't think there's a team on this season. I don't think. I would have said Rex and Tim because I, for some reason, don't think that Rex Ryan sits and watches The Amazing Race, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's a huge fan. That I don't think there's any team now that wouldn't realize that there's something else going on. I don't think.
I could see Eminem, Marcus and Michael. I could see Lewis and Michelle, and I could see the other dancer. Now, I don't think it will be that obvious as Mo and Mike. I think, but I could just again foresee them overlooking something or not paying, or, you know, like you always say, not reading the clue. Now, what I will say is when we had to say goodbye to our girls, Ashna and Nina, I respected Ashna's. I also feel like it was part of the problem as to why they went home. But I love
they like overread their clue.
Right. And they overread their clue. But they like talk about a graceful exit. Like, I just feel like the way that they left was just like warm my heart. Ashna was just saying, like, listen, we had a great day. Okay. Now, at least when I was on Survivor, I could say days. They said we had a great day. We said going out here, we were just going to have fun and we're not going to. And honestly, it's like when I watched it, I was like, you know, I need to take that mantra. And mind you, maybe Rich and Dom should take this mantra, too. Is that like just have fun? Like just I just respected how they left and they were like, you know, I got to spend a day with my best friend and there's nobody else that I would rather spend it with. And I was like, you know what?
We're going to laugh about this every day for the rest of our lives. Like that is just so I am self-aware. I do not think that I would have had, I know, I would not have had that response.
I would have added to you. I mean, I would try to fake it, but just know you would get spicy, pricey, and that professional.
I will not laugh about this ever. There's nothing funny, but I do. I mean, you could tell they're best friends. You could tell they're in love. You could tell that neither one of them was going to be hard on the other, because I don't think there wasn't one moment that one of them cost the other one the race. And even if there had been, I don't think with this couple, it would have been an issue. I think it would have been, you tried your hardest. I love you. Let's go get married. And I like that for them.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
And you need a little bit of that. You can't have everybody be type A nut jobs like I am. You have to have a balance of people on the race. And this was a good balance. I think we lost a very positive Zen team. But I'm okay with that because I think sometimes other teams are more fun to watch than positive and Zen. So.
Sometimes, but listen, we still got Linson and Shariq, and we still got Lou and
Glenda.
Glenda.
I love
We still got my baby Lou. Like, we still got a lot of people to, like, you know, go. Yeah. Like, and I also feel like DX and Claire are so positive.
Yes.
So, and overall, like, there is nobody, and I guess maybe on the other seasons, no, I'm lying, because there was somebody immediately that I was like, I'm good with. There wasn't anyone that stuck out for me that, like, I was just like, oh, God. Like, so I am excited to see how this season unfolds. I'm excited that, like, Brooke and Bryce will be back. BMB will be back every week covering Amazing Race.
Thank you
again, Brooke. As always, I can't believe we back here already.
I know. I feel like this was a faster turnaround. This is great.
We didn't have a pandemic, girl.
Okay. Right. We didn't have to wait a year and a half to come back in the middle of the season. This is amazing. For anyone who didn't watch, Derek and Claire came in first. They won $2,500. No, it's fine. They won $2,500 each. Phil said you could take a vacation with that together. You got, I'm just going to run through it. Glenda and Lou came in second. Love them. Hope they continue to do great. Quentin and Maddie third, also love them. Linton and Shariq fourth place, which is where I came in on the first leg. So I have a certain love for them. Then Marcus and Michael, Rex and Tim coming in sixth, right in the middle, a little higher than I anticipated. Lewis and Michelle, then Abby and Will. These people all came in together, basically. Rich and Dom, who honestly, I have to give her a little bit of credit, because even when she was having a really, really hard time with the log challenge, she was like, it's a little hard to stay positive, but I'm going to try. Like, good for you, girl. No, she did not give up. And she stayed positive even when I would have just been off the rails. Then you have Emily and Molly, and then Aubrey and David, and then Asta and Nina, you know, rest in peace, proverbially. And I know they were great. They were lovely people. I hope we become friends, but we will not be seeing you until, again, the finish line, which is fine. That's totally fine. So thank you for having me. Oh, the only other thing I wanted to say, because I said it last year and the year before, or season before, years before, is that I always take a look. It has nothing to do with anything. I was third in the credits on my season, and I always have this little thing. Is it going to be the third team in the credits? Team number three in the credits, Derek and Claire. So they're going to be my unofficial winner pick.
Okay. And I have to officially pick my winner pick next episode.
If Derek and Claire go home in the next episode, I'll pick a new
topic. It was unofficial, so it doesn't count.
It's unofficial now. It's not official until the next time we do this. So next week, it'll be official.
So, yes,
Brooke, thank you for having me. I love
thank you,
Brookie
Poo. We don't know if we'll be back on video or just audio next week. So listen, if you want us back on audio, let us know. We appreciate it. And we'll be back with your coverage of season 34, not to be confused with season 29 that Brooke Cam High won. Okay. And we will be back next week with your amazing race coverage.
Thank you.
And that is going to conclude your pit stop of Amazing Race season 34, episode 1 with the amazing Brooke Cam High, the winner of Amazing Race season 29. And don't forget, you can follow along on this audio podcast on video over there on YouTube at Bryce Isaiah. Type in Bryce Isaiah, hit subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and let us know in the comments who your favorite Amazing Race teams are. We want to know. As always, you can subscribe to the Purple Pants Podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to hit subscribe, write a review, give your baby boy some 5 stars. And don't forget to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend that it's the pit stop because it's a.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.